This is KAZU, Pacific Grove, Monterey Bay Public Radio. The views expressed here are those of myself and do not necessarily reflect the views of KAZU staff or board of directors, myself being Mae Brussel. My name is Mae Brussel. This hour, World Watchers, is made possible in part by Aries Arts in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for over 20 years. World Watchers has been an ongoing program for 17 years. It'll be 17 years this June, the end of May, that I've been on the air, and some of you are new listeners every week. So I welcome you to listening. Some of you have just listened a few weeks. I get telephone calls and letters. The people that like it get in touch with me, a lot of them. And I appreciate getting, you know, contact with you. And if names are new and go pretty fast, hang in there because you'll get the lingo. You won't remember all the names that I put on in an hour. But what I'm trying to do is to make the connection of these people through various dates in history that are important to events that affect our lives. And you can get an overview of what I'm saying. And if you have a tape recorder, tape it and play it back. Listen again. And if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you the bibliography for the particular evening you heard, or write to me once a month and put the numbers on the envelope that you want the bibliography sheet for. When I begin the programs, I number them and date them. This is World Watchers number 846, and is February the 22nd, 1988. The first item I want to mention is that the Presidio trial in San Francisco that I've been following since last May has right now been closed down. There are no witnesses. They've been removed from the trial. The children, 60 molestation cases, are going to let Mr. Gary Hambright and Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, for all purposes, go free. There will be no case against these particular people. The San Jose Mercury had a story that the only remaining child who was to have testified against the alleged molester was removed from the case. The U.S. Attorney's Office may or may not bring new charges. They haven't said. The problem was that the accused now will go free because the prosecution had a very weak case. They didn't want to put in the more bizarre details, which in fact were true, but didn't want to bring it in because they didn't believe the jury would believe the stories. Right now, what is truth is what is believable, I guess. Not that the jury can't grow up or watch Oprah Winfrey or Geraldo Rivera or other television shows or read news accounts of these very events and circumstances happening to children everywhere else. But the jury in San Francisco at an army trial wouldn't believe what the children said, that many were made to eat feces, they drank urine, they drank blood in rituals, they saw adults dressed in costumes, they described ritual abuse that took place to them. And a lot of this was conducted at the home of a high-ranking army officer who founded a satanic church. That's Officer Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino. He was on Oprah Winfrey's program with his wife this past week. And another woman was there who was adopted as a breeder when she was a young child by people into the satanic cult. And two of her three children were used for snuff movies and murdered. And the third was killed in satanic ritual. Before she could get out of the satanic parents that had adopted her and out of these rituals, she had become a breeder, and I've heard about them before, and three children were sacrificed. The the Dr. Roland Summit was called by the U.S. attorney. He was consulted 10 months ago, but for all purposes now, the case has been dropped, and I believe the reason the case was dropped because they didn't want to get high up to Michael Aquino, who has so much power in the Pentagon and with the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Delta Force, that Gary Hambright might have testified and brought him into it. The children, plural, not just one little girl, evidently had said they were taken to his home in addition to the one that recognized him. Now, the 25th anniversary of John Kennedy's assassination is coming up in this 1988. And a lot of books will be out and articles, and the media is proceeding to, at every turn of the corner, to do something to defame John Kennedy's record. And now Kitty Kelly is writing a book with Judith Exner. She was on CNN this morning. There was an article about her by Liz Smith, February the 5th, 1988, in the San Francisco Chronicle. Judith Exner is dying of cancer, so she says she can tell the whole truth now. She was scared to death before, but she was one of the links of the President of the United States. She said on television, was quoted in the book that's coming out, that she took John Kennedy to see Sam Giancana, the mafia boss, because he wanted help in winning the state of Virginia for elections. Now, most students of history know that Robert and John Kennedy fought the mafia, and the purpose of this book, of course, is probably to leave a mini estate, maybe $1 million to her son that she mentioned before when she surfaced, when the House Select Committee was doing their work, when the investigation of John Kennedy's assassination was done again in Washington, the conclusion being a conspiracy. A lot of the people there said that the organized crime was behind the murder of John Kennedy, Sam Giancana, and John Rosselli. And these were the legal minds like G. Robert Blakey, who works with the Justice Department and was the chief counsel for the committee. And now they are trying to change the history of John Kennedy's life to say that he was asking Giancana to help him get votes to be elected. You can't have it both ways, but some people can. And so that's the story that will be going out about John Kennedy, with Judith Exner, and of course she's dying, Giancana's dead, Kennedy's dead, and I just bring up just one more time, and as many times as it is applicable, at the time of Watergate, Howard Hunt was forging documents for the State Department, being paid $100 a day in those days to say that John Kennedy ordered the murder of Diem, because the Watergate arrest, his desk was emptied out and these things were on the desk. This is part of the history of Watergate. So there's been a concerted effort going on. That was in 1972, June 72, that was happening, continuously going on with documents and papers that can be pulled out. And Judith Exner can say, I have records of where they stayed at a hotel and so forth. But E. Howard Hunt and Tony Lasowitz and Frank Sturgis and the CIA and the Defense Department can make any kind of papers they want. And none of us are going to fingerprint them or see. In fact, if these arrangements were made for John Kennedy to meet with Sam Giancana. I can't believe that people in the Secret Service haven't come forward all of these years, and 25 years, and said, oh, he used to go to Virginia to meet the mafia chieftain from Illinois. But people remember what Kitty Kelly says in her books, so you can wait for this one to come out. One more disinformation lie coming out of the factory of lies of the United States. Just a couple of items I wanted to mention before I continue part two of what I was doing last week, because I believe that is very, very important. Ronald Reagan just signed a new request for a lot of money, billions of dollars, starting with $100 million, to get the space program going. And as the headlines read, such as the Los Angeles Times, new policy seeks to push private investment in space. And this is to open up space laboratories for scientists and for them to do medical research up there in space and belong to private industry. Now, the reason Robert Mayhew was used for assassination teams by the FBI and CIA that he worked for was because he worked for Howard Hughes, which was a private company. And many private companies have been used for espionage because nobody can get in their books. There's no real board of directors to check on. And in the case of private companies running space stations, I'd like to refer to a book, Alternative 3. It was written by Leslie Watkins. I've had it on World Watchers a long time ago, numbers 380, 381, 384, 394, and so forth. It's about the plans for genocide of getting rid of 80% of the population in the world through NASA and through the space stations. And in addition to Alternative 3, some of you don't know, or remember that Auschwitz was run by slave labor, and those that couldn't work were killed immediately. And they made rubber, substitute rubber and synthetic fuel for Adolf Hitler. And Auschwitz was owned by IG Farben, a private corporation that could have their factory at a location where millions of people, 10,000 a day, could be cremated, thrown into pits alive and so forth, run by a private company because IG Farben didn't account to anybody. Now, one of the people that I've had mentioned on the program over and over again is Ryosha Sasakawa, described a long time ago in The Village Voice, October the 4th, 1983, as possibly one of the most dangerous war criminals, that he is not to be trusted. He will resurrect his fascism. After the war, he was part of the early group that killed political persons in Japan in order to get ready for Pearl Harbor, hopefully to control the world from the Japanese Asian side. He's part of the Japanese mafia. He put up the money for Reverend Moon and for the World Anti-Communist League. Ryosha Sasakawa got very interested in the space program. I had that also on World Watchers quite a while ago. And Ryosha Sasakawa has a building or a department named for him in Houston, Texas, called the Sasakawa International Center for Space, because he gave them millions of dollars. And he also is donating millions of dollars to AIDS research. And so Sasakawa's interest in underwriting the Space Center, that was Program 812 last June 1987. He's 87 years old. He's donated $3 million to the Space Center in Houston. He's interested in space centers, stations, Mars and Moon. And he also travels around the country. He's donated $12 billion in charities and at least $8 million to the disease AIDS. And then I also did programs after the Challenger blew up about Judith Resnick, one of the women that was killed on the Challenger. That earlier she was on the shuttle Discovery, and she was doing research for the National Institute of Health on AIDS. And the space shuttles are used for AIDS experiments or whatever they're doing up there. They're working with the disease AIDS. And Sasakawa is interested in space. Auschwitz was a private company, and I think this going to privatization up there where nobody, I mean, nobody can get up to see what is going on is very, very serious. And then Wall Street Journal had an article just this last week on the company Warner Lambert going into AIDS-related drugs, U.S. To allow wider distribution, use of Warner Lambert AIDS-related drugs. That's the Wall Street Journal, the 17th of February. Well, Warner Lambert was the firm that Otto von Bolschwing joined up when he came to the United States. He was in the Gestapo, the Waffen-SS. He was hired by the OSS to merge those S's together, Alan Dulles and Wild Bill Donovan. And Warner Lambert hired Otto von Bolschwing, a man who really should have been put in the docket with Eichmann in Israel, but he was in California busy as the president of the TCI, Transcomputer International. And after working with Warner Lambert, he came out to California and became president of a company whose subsidiary was International Imaging, that is the home base of the enterprise of the Iran-Contra affair, with Albert Hakim buying International Imaging from the Otto von Bolschwing Network, and General Secord and CIA Thomas Kleins and CIA Theodore Shackley, and all the main operatives of the Iran-Contra affair are part of buying up the subsidiary and making it the Stanford Technology Training Group. And Otto von Bolschwing came to California after working for Elmer Bofst of Warner Lambert, Warner Lambert being the godfather of the Nixon career, who put him into power and then back into power when he lost to John Kennedy in 1960. And after the war, Wild Bill Donovan took over the American Cancer Society. And for the first time, instead of having a doctor there, they had a member of the OSS. Wild Bill Donovan became a member of the board of the American Cancer Society, or chairman of it. So that Nazism, fascism, private companies, space for experimentations or medications or whatever, space books identifying genocide, problems in the future, all of this portends a very bad picture. I'm just citing a few references, and I did want to mention what is going on with regards to Reagan's project in space being given to private corporations and the AIDS medicine with Warner Lambert and the background of some of these characters who are duplicating the intent of what was to happen after World War II when the Odessa would take over. As a matter of fact, the Village Voice article on Ryosha Sasakawa said that you have to question him, his loyalty. There's a fear of disloyalty, that he was a Class A war criminal, and that he appears to be a man potentially dangerous to our future, and he has been squarely behind the Japanese military policies of aggression, that he's not scrupulous, he's not to be trusted, and they warned about him wearing a new cloak that opportunity would offer. And Sasakawa funds the AIDS and the space program. The space is going private. They were doing AIDS research up there in the laboratories on the shuttles before. So, as I say, this is a very bad scene. Now, last week, I talked about a man who was murdered December 1986, Mr. Glenn Suham. And I want to continue part two of SUAM because it touches bases with a lot of things that are happening with Edwin Meese, with the Costa Rica, Iran-Contra people, with General Noriega in Panama, and put him again into a time slot of when he was murdered and probably why he was murdered, because the stories surrounding Mr. Suham's businesses are in the news very much today. And so I want to continue on the story about Suham. One story from the Washington Times, I shared a little bit of that with you last week, December 18th, said that his Paris-based security agency was a included a wide circle of people in the jet set, and one of his good friends was Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian financier who worked for Lockheed for our CIA earlier. He was entertaining Donna Rice on his yacht before she came home and was photographed with Gary Hart, who was the front contender for the Democratic Party a little while back. And Khashoggi has been a political animal for a long time. He was the first person contacted when the administration wanted to pay $10 million to Khomeini to get arms for Khomeini. Khashoggi was in on that deal with his friend Roy Furmark, and one of the close friends and business partners of Glenn Suham, who worked with the National Security Council, was, in fact, Adnan Khashoggi. And also, last week, I'm sure, most of you couldn't have missed it, the article was in the Wall Street Journal, February the 16th. Noriega lawyer says files are political dynamite. Noriega files could affect the U.S. presidential campaign. CIA Director Vice President George Bush, when he was CIA Director, worked closely with Noriega. And at the time of the hearings, when Milan Rodriguez was testifying, it was John Kerry who silenced him when he wanted to mention George Bush in connection with Noriega. Mr. Rodriguez already mentioned the connection of Gomez-Rodriguez, the other Rodriguez, in and out of George Bush's offices as vice president, as the drug connections got close to George Bush just previous to the New Hampshire primary. A senator who we learned to love and trust, John Kerry, didn't even let this very much out in the open. But this past week, Noriega's lawyers are saying that there's political dynamite. If you want to go along with this candidate, George Bush, and if you want to pick on me. Now, January 29th, 1986, was another long article I just referred to from the Wall Street Journal titled Tungsten Park Finds an Embattled Client, Panama's Noriega. And this article is about the closeness of Tungsten Park. Now, he's a protege of Reverend Moon in Korea and of Ryosha Sasakawa from Japan, and he has inroads all over the world, Tungsten Park, and he's very close with people from Japan in building up Panama so that they will have control of Panama when it goes back to the Panamanians in 9 years. And this article says that the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, four-star Admiral Murphy, and I mentioned his name last week, went down to Panama with Thomas Hale Boggs and went to represent the National Security Council. He said it was as a private person, but he reported back to the government, and he was having consultations with Noriega. Having worked in the NSC right under George Bush, as chief of staff to George Bush in the NSC, and having been a former deputy director of the CIA, he went down to Panama. He had two trips down there, August, November of 86 to Panama, and Glenn Suham was dead in December 86. And these gentlemen went down to Panama to talk. The person that went with them, Mr. Boggs, is the son of Thomas Hale Boggs, is the son of the late Hale Boggs, a member of Congress who was appointed on the Warren Commission, was there with Alan Dulles and John J. McCloy at the time of Watergate, and he was recognizing the connections of Watergate to the Kennedy assassination, just as I did the day they were arrested. He went on a journey, a plane, for whatever reason, over Alaska. The plane blew up, and Hale Boggs was never seen again. But his son is down here with Mr. Park, representing Tungsten Park, representing as a private public relations man always, Mr. Sasakawa and Reverend Moon. And Mr. Boggs' mother is a U.S. House of Representatives Democrat, but he was down there along with Mr. Timmons, a Republican. They were all close together at Georgetown University, and they were talking with Noriega about whatever you can imagine. I believe it would have something to do those dates with Mr. Suham, and they allegedly were telling him, well, they went down, pardon me, in 1987. Suham died December 86. But they went down to talk to Noriega and had conferences, and as I said before, the Moonies and the powers that be from that angle are protecting Noriega. They don't want to antagonize them because Japan and Korea, of course, would like to rebuild the Panama Canal. Now, a long article came out this past week by Alfonso Chardy, February the 7th, 1988. Pentagon official linked to Contra arms plans. And this, the highest in the Pentagon here, is Mr. Nestor Sanchez, a prominent person, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Inter-American Affairs. And he worked with the arms dealers. David Duncan was one of them. And Dan Cummings, Colonel Dan Cummings, was the other one. And Sanchez, from our Pentagon, was working with regarding the shipment of weapons that went from Russia to through Germany, the ship, the Pia Vesta case, that was to go down to the Contras filled with arms. It was carrying a lot of automatic rifles from Japan and shoulder anti-tank rockets and 32 four-wheel drive East German military trucks. Now, this shipment of weapons that came in on the Pia Vesta that involved our Defense Department agent, staff, the Mr. Sanchez, and it involved in El Salvador, the Staff General Adolfo Blandón. He's different than the Blandón that testified from that worked with Noriega. But these people were involved in the shipment that Noriega kept in Panama because he ordered that the ship to be held up that came from the Eastern Bloc, and that's the ship that Glenn Suhan was sending from Europe. He had a hunk of money. He was never so wealthy as before, but he had a sense that he was going to be killed. He was in danger, he told a close friend. And the shipment of weapons that he arranged for, the Pia Vesta, was confiscated in Panama by Noriega. There were rumors circulating then that Noriega was on drug was involved with drug trafficking. The rumor may be true. I'm not saying it isn't true. But the public word out was get Noriega and start with his drug dealing. And he was mad, so he held up the ship that Glenn Suhan had arranged and loaded up that went with the Eastern weapons and through Poland and Germany and the various briberies on down. Noriega was absolutely involved in that shipment and involved in the arranging of those weapons. As I say, was David Duncan, the arms dealer, and Colonel Elton Dan Sanchez, Cummings and Sanchez, very high up in our military. So the congressional probers were investigating this ship and how it got waylaid. It was supposed to go to Howard Air Force Base, the principal U.S. military base in Panama, and then the weapons were to be go to El Salvador. So Noriega held up that ship that Suhan had sent. So Suhan was directly involved with these people, and there was a lot of consternation about that ship being in the hands of Noriega and not getting down to the Contras as quickly or as directly as they had wanted. Now, in the book, this book came out in September, called The Chronology. It's a very good book, and I'll be referring to it quite a bit. It's published by the National Security Archives in Washington, D.C. And in The Chronology, and I just briefly mentioned last week, when they get to September 24th, 1986, they mentioned Glenn Suhan, who was murdered in France. His murder was to silence him, they said. He worked with Oliver North and sent weapons to the Contras, and he was a consultant to the National Security Council, and he also did overseas work for the Overseas Private Investment Council, OPIC, that I mentioned last week. And then on the same in the same chapter, at the end of this September period of 1986, continuing on down to September 26, on the next page, there's a section about Roy Fermark. At the end of September 86, the same day or the day after Suhan was murdered, Adnan Khashoggi sent Fermark, who was a client and partner, William Casey, to the CIA and wanted his help. He said that he was deeply involved in financing arms deals to Iran for the United States, that $10 million was owed to him from the account of Lake Resources, and that was being run and still is run by the Enterprise, the Stanford Technology Trading Group. So Khashoggi, a friend of Suhan, who's now dead by 2 days, a friend of his, is sending a message to the CIA, I want the $10 million that I put up for the arms for Iran. And Suhan was taking that money and using money for buying weapons for the Contras. And Khashoggi was out the $10 million and found out it had been put in Lake Resources. And also, Suham was using the same bank in Switzerland. I ran through that quickly last week. Suham had two Swiss bank accounts, and one was deposited in the name of the same bank where Lake Resources was. Lake Resources used a dummy front stationed in Panama, where Noriega was, where the ship that Suham sent for the Contras was held up by Noriega. And Suham's money was in Lake Resources and that Udell company. Now, Udell was closed up in 1986 as a dummy front. It held for the Enterprise, Secord, Hakim, Shackley, Kleins, and so forth, because there was wind that there was narcotic money in the account. There was rumors, and there were also an open case being investigated after the Christic Institute filed their suit in Miami. By 1986, the Iran-Contra story was fully exposed just a few months before Eugene Hasenfuss landed in Nicaragua in his airplane. Now, the same chronology book has the details of the shipping project through Project Democracy, Udall Corporation that was sending weapons to Panama through that company. And then in fall of 86, after Glenn Suham was murdered, and he was afraid he would be, on page 492, the chronology says, the attorneys for Thomas Klein, who's now on trial for security fraud, was told over the phone by a person representing himself as working for the National Security Council that Klein's is on assignment with the government. The attorney, A. Hoyt Rowell, says later, the person who was not a government official called him to tell Thomas Klein's repeated absences from the court proceedings would not interfere, that he would be working for the United States government. So as soon as Glenn Suham was murdered in Paris, Klein's was officially, he was retired from the CIA, and he worked with his whole team from the Enterprise and Stanford Technology Training Group for quite a few years, but now he officially was told, you're now working for the government. And his friend Theodore Shackley was working with the shipment of weapons from Poland to Portugal and then on down to Central America. And then the chronology also says that in the fall of 86, that the Drug Enforcement Agency stopped investigating the drug traffic in Guatemala that they were doing, that they had uncovered convincing evidence of American flight crews working with covert arms supply operations going to the Contras, involved in smuggling cocaine and marijuana. One of the crew members, after the DE agents searched their planes and so forth in their home in San Salvador for drugs, warned that he and his colleagues had White House protection and people shouldn't bother them searching for drugs. And they invoked Oliver North's name, although some officials later said the warning could have just been a bluff because, you know, they wanted to cover up North's connection to the drugs as early as 86. And after Eugene Hasenfuss landed October 5th, the supply operation collapsed, but the crew members all broke up and the drug investigation was no longer pursued. This was in the New York Times, January the 20th, 1987. So that as the heat got really hotter, they stopped the drug investigation, because if agents were on it, they would certainly come across the links of the drug traffic of El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and Costa Rica, pouring millions and billions of cocaine into the United States through the Contra supply and through the kind efforts of our airplanes going down to help the Contras and bringing home the drugs. So that Mr. Suham was in the middle of a weapons deal. He was working with people with banking connections that were into the drug traffic. He was working with Mr. Khashoggi, who was missing $10 million. And with Mr. Noriega, was holding up the ship that he so kindly had sent down to the Contras. And he was really in multiple crossfire of people who were looking out for their own interests and really scared. As of October 1986, Hasenfuss landed. And then in November, the paper in Lebanon broke the story about the Iran weapons. And by December, I guess the powers that be decided that Glenn Suham couldn't exist any longer. He had made a lot of money in a short time, but he knew too many people had been in the White House with Ronald Reagan, and they decided it was time to get rid of him. And I'll do more about getting rid of him in a minute. We'll take a 1-minute break now, and I have announcements for you.